This is a Truth for Today recording, Oscar M. Baker speaking, and the date is November the 5th, 1986. We have been working for some time on a series on Genesis, and we are ready tonight to begin with chapter 38, Genesis chapter 38, continuing the story. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son. They called his name Er. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son, and called his name Shelah. And he was a Chezib when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go into thy brother's wife, and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his, and it came to pass, when he went into his brother's wife, he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. You can see some of the results of Judas stepping out of the right way, and what happens, but of course in the long run the Lord overrules, but there's some folks going to have to suffer. Then said Judah to Tamar his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house, till Shelah my son be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brother did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. Of course, it was a custom at that time that if a husband or a wife died, that the brother of the husband should take her to wife and keep up the line. And that was what they were trying to do here, but Judah had done the wrong thing in the first place. And they're mixing up the Canaanites and so on, so somebody's going to have to suffer. And in process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted and went away and went up unto his sheep shears to Timnah, he and his family hire the Adullamite. And it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnah to share his sheep. And she put her widow's garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which was by the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him or wife. But when Judah saw her, he saw her being hard, because she had covered her face. And he turned unto her by the way, and said, go to, I pray thee, and let me come unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me, that thou mayest come unto me? And she said, and he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till I'll send it? And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet and thy bracelets and thy staff was in mine hand. Oh, this little lady is very carefully planning things that make it turn out right, at least. According to the law and the custom of the time, she was not doing particularly the wrong thing, because it was Judah's business to see to it that his sons were given to her as husbands. And so we can't judge these folks too heavily. And he gave it to her, the pledge, and came into her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid to the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. They found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, well, where is a harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be ashamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass, about 3 months after, it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot, and also behold, she was a child by whoredom. And Judas said, bring her forth, let her be burnt. Pretty hard on women in those days, but I guess maybe under the culture they were at that time, but maybe it had to be, I don't know. We can't judge in this age in which we live. And probably it's worse than what that age was at that. Probably. Probably we haven't anything to brag about. But at least we can see that God has a finger in this. He's in the background. And that's going to turn out in spite of men's failures, we have found all in the time before. Like Jacob's stepping aside and so on. We have been all through that story, and even Abraham didn't do everything just exactly right. Or any of them, as far as that goes. They were all frail human beings. And so we have to take it as it comes. Verse 25. But when she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these? The signet, the bracelets, and the staff. And Judah acknowledged them, and said, she hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son. And he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet of thread, saying, this came out first. And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that behold, his brother came out. And she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And after came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was Zerah. Well, the story is kind of thickening a little bit, the plot. Now we revert to Joseph. Chapter 39. We left him being carried off by a caravan that was going to Egypt. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him at the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Now notice this. This Potiphar was a captain of the guard. Don't mix him with Potiphar, who's another character that comes shortly in the story. He was a different man. And this fellow was an Egyptian. And so he bought Joseph of the Ishmaelites. Now Ishmael, remember, was a son of Abraham by Hagar. So get these folks all straightened out. And the Lord was with Joseph. And he was a prosperous man. One of the old translations says, and he was a lucky fellow. Well, he would be lucky, and the Lord was watching over him, wouldn't he? And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And the master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all he had put into his hand. Well, here's a lad of not much more than 17, getting a lot of promotions right off. Interesting, isn't it? And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not what he had, save the bread he did eat. He just turned it over to Joseph and didn't know how much he had, didn't count up his money, his fortune, or anything, and just so he could eat, that's all he needed. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored, a fine looking young man. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. The lad is 17. Temptations in Egypt. Well, we'll see how it comes out. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not, or doesn't know, what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Pretty good reasoning, and they certainly ought to shame her. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her, or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house here with him. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled, and got him out. Now you can see what a woman can do. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left the garment in her hand, was fled forth, as she called unto the men of her house, and spake to them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. What a lie. Well, they're conceiving a little bit what kind of a woman she was. That gives it away. And she laid up the garment by her, and for her Lord came home, Potiphar. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. He was there in the prison because of a woman's lying. Well, remember now, he's captain of the guard, so he could put him in the prison. See, he had power. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was doer of it. Twice he's promoted. He's a manager. He's a good worker. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I guess there's some people like that in the world today. Just wherever they go, things seem to go right. But there's a reason back of this. It isn't accidental by any means. The Lord has a purpose for Joseph. Chapter 40 in Genesis. And it came to pass, after these things, that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against the two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard, into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Now he's got company. And a couple of fellows who were next to the king. Because the baker and the butler at that time were quite prominent persons. Because the baker can make all of the sweetmeats and ice breads and so on for him. Of course, the butler would take care of all of the drinks and so forth. So here's the pair. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them. One man his dream, and one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, were bound in the prison, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them and said, Behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his king's lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream. There is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. Joseph's going to be a Daniel, isn't he? A little bit before that day, however. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me. I told you the butler had to do with the wine and so on. He says it dreams about a vine. And then the vine were three branches, and it was so it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and a cluster thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Well, what would that all mean? And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head, and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Well, that's good news, isn't it? He's going to be free in 3 days. But think of me, blessed be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Joseph wants him to be a friend and help him get out of that prison house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the hand land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. But when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream. Behold, I had 3 white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. That's a funny dream. 3 baskets, and the top one, the birds started eating out of it, eating the stuff. Well, I've heard them say that you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from making nests in your hair. This fellow came near it, didn't he? All right. And Joseph answered and said, This is the interpretation thereof. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Well, that isn't good news, not by any means. And it came to pass the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief butler, the baker. As Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. All right, do somebody a good deed, you think he'll remember him. He doesn't. All too often happens. I think that's one thing that we should be very careful about, is our dealings with our fellow men. If we have kindness, and somebody does us a good deed and so on, we should remember that and try to help them in some way if they need it, and sort of repay it. It's a way to make friends, you know. And that kind of friends that will return a good deed is a good friend to have. Chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. Joseph's been in prison now for 2 whole years. Well, but that time was long. And Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river. That, of course, would be the Nile River. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, cows, if you please, and fat-fleshed. And they fed in a meadow. Nice fat cows. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And here's something that's not according to nature, but it's a dream. And the ill-favored and lean-fleshed kind did eat up the 7 well-flavored and fat kind. So a Pharaoh awoke. Now, cattle don't eat each other. I never knew it anyhow. I've been around a lot of them. Well, that is a strange dream. And he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn. Now, this is wheat. And it's an eastern variety of wheat. All the wheat I've ever seen growing around here just has one head or ear to the stalk. But the kind of wheat that they raised in Egypt and Palestine places back there had several heads or ears on a stalk. And that's what he's dreaming about here. So some folks may think this is a little strange because they never saw any wheat with more than one head or ear on it. Well, I haven't either. I haven't traveled that much. So all I know is what I read and see. Well, there were good ears, and the whole 7 thin ears and blast of diseased wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told him his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream one night, and I and he, we dreams, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored into my office, and him he hanged. Oh, he finally remembers after 2 years. Joseph told him to remember him. Well, he finally did. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto Pharaoh. I don't know. This may be the first time that Joseph ever shaved. But you remember the Egyptians, it was an abomination to them for a man to wear a beard or a mustache. They kept their faces cleanly shaved. Was the Hebrews is just the opposite. The boy couldn't raise a beard when he was just a sissy, that's all. He wasn't a man. How opposite those two cultures were. Well, Joseph shaved and changed his clothes and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 kine, that place well favored and well, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them, poor and very ill favored, and lean flesh, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first 7 fat kine. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known if they had eaten them. But they were still ill-favored, as at the beginning. Favored, not flavored. Ate up all of those fat ones and still it didn't make any difference in them. That was rather unusual too, wasn't it? So I woke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, 7 ears came upon one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered, thin, and blasted, with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the 7 good ears, and I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. In other words, both those dreams mean the same thing. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The 7 good kine are 7 years. And the 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. Just 7 years, not 14. And the seventh sin, the ill favored kind that came after, up after them, are 7 years. And the 7 empty years lasted with the east wind, shall be 7 years of famine. So here you have 2 sevens now. 2 sevens of plenty, or 7 years of plenty, make it that way, and 7 years of leanness. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there shall come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in thy land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. That isn't very good news to Pharaoh, is it? They're going to have 7 years, they'll have plenty, and then they'll have 7 years that there won't be anything. Well, Joseph knows what to do. Of course, he's inspired in all of this. God is talking through him. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, is because the thing is established for God, and God will shortly bring it to pass, making it emphatic, makes it double so he'll be sure to get it through his head. Now, Joseph's going to advise the king of Egypt. Just come out of a dungeon, he's going to advise the king. Old little chap, wasn't he? Well, that's what we need. Fellows who'd be bold to speak and give advice when they can. We need it in the country today, just after the election especially. Oh, so much for that. He says in verse 33, "Now let Pharaoh look out for a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt." A dictator, if you please. "Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. Take a fifth part. A fifth part in 7 years. That'd make over 1 year's production considerably. "And let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh." And corn ordinarily means wheat, and things like it, rye and barley and so on. "And let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine that shall be in the land of Egypt, and that the land perish not through the famine." Now, king, this is a thing to do. And I imagine that king was awfully glad for the advice. He didn't know what to do. Somehow or other, he wasn't enlightened to think of such a scheme as that, I guess. Well, I don't know. People have been like that, you know, down through the centuries. I remember back in Proverbs, "Wadi ad formi camo piger et consider aeus vias et sapientum esse." Now, I'm not speaking in tongues. That's just plain Latin. But it says, "Go to the imp, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." And it goes on to tell how she lays up store and so on for future days, years. Well, even the ant has that much gumption, but people don't seem to. And the thing looked good. It was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. That sounded like good sense. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, "Can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? Why, we don't need to look. We got him right here." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Going to turn it right over as a business manager. That's what we call it today. Make Joseph a business manager, the country, the land of Egypt. The lad, it isn't yet 20. Well, Daniel was only about 16 when he was taken captive, and look what he was doing in the short order. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. My, I'll bet Joseph looks fine now after all of that dressing up. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him rule over all the land of Egypt. Came out of a pit. His brothers had thrown him in, and here he is, ruler of the land of Egypt, short order. When his brothers be amazed. Well, that's a part of the future story. Now, if you haven't ever read this, well, I'll just leave you in suspense. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paneah. I don't think that explains it right there, Zaphnath-Paneah, but you will find it very easily in notes or dictionary. It has abundance. Or food for the living. Actually, Paneah there means primarily bread. So he's a bread giver. Well, that's so much for that. And he gave him to wife, and as Pharaoh gave to Joseph for a wife, got him a wife. Joseph didn't have to go out and court a girl and get him a wife. He had one given to him. Wasn't he lucky? Didn't have to spend all his pocket money entertaining the girl. And her name was Asenath. It's an Egyptian name. The daughter of Potiphar. Almost like Potiphar, the name of the one that was his first master. And some people have wondered sometimes if some of these things did get mixed up a little bit and so on. Well, we can't. We can just take what we find here. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Well, now we begin to get some idea here. What's happened all this time in here? Here, Joseph is 30 years old all at once. Well, we don't know how long he served Potiphar. He was at least 2 years in prison. And so it's pretty hard to account for all the years of Joseph. Well, he was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went off from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth by handfuls. Good crops. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field, which was round about every city, and he laid he up in the same. And Joseph gathered corn, or wheat as we call it, as the sand of the sea, very much. Until he left numbering, for it was outnumbered. Now, you have to go in some of your appendices in your Bible and see what our measures were to use for measuring things at that time. They didn't use bushels, as we do now. And I suspect there from some folks listening to this don't even know what a bushel is. Well, I was brought up on a farm. I was lucky. And unto Joseph are born 2 sons, before the years of famine came. Which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphera, priest of On, bare unto him. I'm going to give you a little bit of guessing right here. Back in those days, it was the habit in many of the countries for to import priests, men who knew all sleights of hand and stuff like that. And the Chaldeans at that time were noted for their wisdom and all of the things they could foretell and do and so on. And so, some of the countries would get these men to be their priests for their temples. And that is probably what is so here. And actually, if that is true, Joseph didn't marry an Egyptian. He married a Chaldean. And remember, Abraham was of Chaldea. Now, of course, a lot of folks think that a lot of these Egyptians at that time were black. And Joseph married a black woman. I don't know why. They have Moses doing the same thing and so on, which is all untrue. Moses married the daughter of a priest of Midian, of the Midianites. And so you can't blame, you can't say that he married a black woman. Well, that's how some people's imaginations run wild. Well, we've got to stick close to what we find here. But I'm just bringing this in here. There's a possibility. I'm not saying it's true, but there's a possibility that Joseph did not marry an Egyptian or a black person, a black woman, but other Chaldeans. And God would keep the line, you see, straight. I know that there had to be a keeping of that. There didn't dare to be a mixture in it. And that's the only thing I can think of. Well, and Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God said, He hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. And the name of the second called he Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Well, there's a couple of words now. Fruitful and forgetfulness. Or the other way around. And I asked for forgetfulness and Ephraim. Fruitful. And we have things said about these and later prophecies and accounts, so on, which are sometimes rather interesting. I won't bring those up right now. My memory's bothering a little bit anyhow, so I better not stray. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. Oh, I remember now. Ephraim, in the prophecy, is spoken of as a cake not yet turned, baked on one side, so he is half-baked. I remember it now. So you keep that in mind. All right. And the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dearth was in all lands, for in the land of Egypt there was no bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph. What he says to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians. And a famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in all lands. All of this is working up to a certain point. My great-grandma. I'll tell you, you can't make up stories, fiction and so on, that can beat the reality. 42, chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was no corn, that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Go ye down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. It was that bad. People would be starving to death. And Joseph's 10 brethren, see, Benjamin isn't on the scene quite yet, went down. He's born, but not old enough to go with his older brothers. His 10 brethren went down to buy corn and eat. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob sent not with his brethren, for he said, Lest peradventure mischief shall befall him. He's his favorite now since Joseph is gone, because he is a son of Rachel. Just those two are the only ones that Rachel herself had as children, were Joseph and Benjamin. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn among those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan, in all the lands. And Joseph was the governor over all the land, and he it was that sold all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the earth. They didn't know him. Well, he didn't have any beard. He was now with the Egyptians, and he had to dress like they did, and so on. And remember, in his dreams, he had said that their sheaves bowed to him, also stars and so on. Here they are, fulfilling his dream. They bow down before him. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, Whence came ye? And he said, From the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they did not know him. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, Ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land ye are come. And they said unto him, Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons. We are true men. Thy servants are no spies. They're putting up an argument, defense. And he's pushing it right to them. He's got a purpose. And he said unto them, Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land here come. See how that they can bring an army or something in and overcome it. He pretended he didn't know, you see, who they were. And they said, Well, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. Behold him, this is this day with our father, and one is not. Gone, dead, or whatever. Of course, that is Joseph. And Joseph said unto them, That is it, that I spake unto thee, saying, Ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh you shall not go forth hence, except by your youngest brother comes hither. That's quite an order. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. Boy, he's going to be rough with them. But he has a purpose. And he put them all together in the ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them the third day, This do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye, tarry corn for the famine of your houses. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall thy your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, We are verily guilty concerning our brother, and that we saw the anguish of his soul. After getting into trouble, their thoughts begin to go back to Joseph. See, that's what happens. Get into trouble and then begin to think of all the meanness he ever did. And so we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear or listen. Therefore is this distress come upon us. A little repentance starting to appear or something. At least they're beginning to get conscious of their wrong. Well, I'm going to have to stop here. The time is out. We have Reuben starting to speak now. Of course, he's the oldest. Or not quite, I guess, at that. All right. Dear Father, we're thankful for these writings that thou hast given us today to show us ourselves as we are, as these men were of old, to show us also something of thy plans and purposes and outcome. Thankful that thou hast made a way for us today, that we have the wonderful blessings in heavenly places. We do ask that thou guide and direct in all these studies, that we may learn the lessons we need to know, that we may take these things to ourselves through Christ we ask it. Amen.